Welcome to the first episode of Stories of Recovery podcast. This podcast is a collaboration between Mental Health Ireland and the HSC Cavan Monaghan Mental Health Services as part of the Connecting for Life Cavan Monaghan plan to reduce suicide in our communities. My name is Miffy Hode and I'm a Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland in the Cavan and Monaghan area. I'll be hosting the conversations here on the Stories of Recovery podcast. It's widely recognised that the sharing of personal narrative and lived experience of surviving and recovering from adverse events in life offers hope and inspiration to those who may be going through something similar. It's been shown to promote help-seeking behaviour and encourage people to reach out for support when needed. It is our intention that the conversations we will have in this series of podcasts will bring hope and inspiration to you, the listener, and encourage you to reach out should you need support. We also hope that the conversations here add meaning to the experience of those involved in helping to spread the word that recovery is real and possible, even from the most difficult of experiences. A list of supports and services can be found in a link below the podcast and will also be announced at the end of this recording. Thank you for listening, and let me introduce you now to our theme and guests today. Today we'll be talking about recovering from the effects of suicide, and joining me for this conversation are Owen Kelly and Eimear Mulligan. Owen's brother Lorcan died by suicide about 10 years ago. Eimear Mulligan is the Resource Officer for Suicide for the Cavan and Monaghan area. If you've been affected by suicide recently, you might find listening to this difficult. We recommend you either listen at another time or listen with someone supportive. We met in a large room so that we could maintain physical distance while we had this conversation. Owen and Eimear, you're both really welcome. And thank you for joining me here for the Stories of Recovery podcast. So Owen, starting with you, if that's okay, would you be able to share with us what happened around the time of your brother's death?
Of course, and thank you very much for having me to be part of this. I suppose we're coming up now to 10 years, the 21st of September. Prior to that, on the 26th of July, myself and Lisa got married. My brother Lorcan was my best man. Everything was as it should be, and my new life was starting. Nothing at that time suggested that it wasn't anything other than that. Unfortunately, that is not how it transpired. Myself and Lisa went on honeymoon. We arrived back 3 weeks later. The week after that, our lives changed forever. That phone call came, and it was a phone call that will always kind of live in my memory. It was my brother on the phone, and the news was that Lorcan was missing. Got in the car and went to meet my brother and my mother and tried to figure out what was happening, what the story was. Myself and my brother basically kicked into survival mode. We began searching locally for Lorcan. We went to his home house where himself and his fiancée was living in Butler's Bridge. A lot of confusion, dismay, you know, what could be wrong, what could the issues be, why would he, you know, leave his phone, his wallet, and a little bit of a note. Couldn't make contact with him. Then on in kicked in a complete whirlwind. In that day, we continued to search locally for any sign or trace of Lorcan. We continued that the following morning, and through, you know, great support from local friends and family members and, you know, local community, we set about, you know, getting out on the road and maybe trying to track him down. I suppose we had different clips of him going past certain cameras, and we started to track his movements. I was in that lone at the time, heading out the Borough Road, when the phone call came to say that that Lorcan's car had been found down in Clare. So the whirlwind continued. We got down to Clare to try and establish what had happened. Unfortunately, at that point, we realised that Lorcan had completed suicide. On finding Lorcan's remains, and during the time that we spent searching for Lorcan, what was evident was the community aspect and the family aspect and the supports that were there for us. And I suppose it really was emphasised on the night that we brought Lorcan home. It was late, at about 1:30 in the morning, yet the streets were lined with people to gesture, you know, that we were there for you, basically, is what you picked up from that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us, Owen. From the point of view of your personal journey, following all of that trauma and the aftermath of Lorcan's death, what sort of challenges did you face?
I was initially concerned about the welfare of the rest of my family. You know, two younger brothers, a younger sister, and my mum and dad, and obviously the extended family, extended community members. You know, we were all surrounded and embraced by everybody that knew Lorcan. So it was trying to, you know, work out why we were in this situation, what had brought us to this one point where we were all together. And in that, we started a journey that every family, unfortunately, that loses somebody by suicide faces.
Okay.
When everything died down, post-funeral, post, you know, the close kind of contact with everybody, I suppose my main concern at that time was my family. You know, I was recently married, but I also, my mum and dad, my two brothers and sister, you know, we were all starting off on a journey through the grief of losing somebody by suicide. For me personally, I don't think I really turned off until 2 years after Lorcan died. I was solely concerned on making sure that I was there if they needed me, or if there was a point that my wife and I sat and we came to the realization that I wasn't in a good place. I needed to talk to somebody. I definitely remember that feeling of, okay, it's time to look after yourself here. And it coincided with seeing my own family and, you know, people that I knew that were close to the whole thing starting to move on with their lives. So I felt that they were then safe. So maybe that was the point where I started the slump.
Okay. So your focus was on supporting other people. And all of that energy that you were putting into that was taking its toll on you, maybe. It's sounding like there wasn't much space for you and your grief in all of that.
Yeah, like what I have learned since what happened to Lorcan is that self-care is paramount. I realise now that in those 2 years post Lorcan's death, that I was more concerned about looking after everybody else than I was about looking after myself. So I had seen what suicide does to families, to communities, to obviously to individuals. So to have that perspective, myself and my wife knew that I had to get help somewhere. I had to talk to people. And it pushed me on to seek out advice from counsellors at the start. I did attend sessions with at least 3 counsellors. And it was on the 4th occasion that things started to click into place. When I spoke to that 4th person, it made sense. They got me, I got them. And they put sense to a lot of thoughts that I was having. and gave me tools to be able to process what feelings I was going through.
Can I ask you a little bit, Owen, if it's okay, the sorts of feelings you had? Because it strikes me that a whole maelstrom of feelings come up for people when they're affected by suicide.
The loss of control of your feelings, you know, it was the panic attack. I vividly remember sitting on my own after finishing work, sitting on the couch, and the whole world just caving in. And being cognizant of what's going on, that the sun is shining, that the wind is blowing, that you're sitting in the sitting room, but not being able to move, not being able to lift your hand, to wave your foot, to process any thoughts but negative thoughts, and not being able to get away from that feeling, to be coming out in cold sweat, and to literally have to convince yourself that you're okay, you need to get through this, and I don't know, is that something that happened to Lorcan? Is that something that happened to many people? I don't know, but it was definitely something that drove me on to learn how to deal with it, because I had seen what suicide does to people.
Is it okay to ask you, Owen, did you have thoughts of suicide at that time?
It's hard to say if I ever thought of harming myself. I don't think I did, purely because of what happened to Lorcan. I seen the consequences of it for our family, for our friends, for our fiancés, for communities. I've seen what it does, the devastation that it created. So I don't believe that I ever had the thought of going through with it. But I definitely feel that I was some way on the path to that line. You know, that line that is crossed when suicide occurs. Do we really know where that line is? I don't know. I don't know how close I was to that line, but I do know what worked for me to pull me back from that line.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. During that time, you obviously had a lot of support, and I'm just wondering about the sorts of supports there were for you.
Well, definitely for myself was the access to the counsellors. You know, I think, I can't remember exactly the service that I used, but I think it may have been a resource centre. There wasn't an initial fee or anything like that, but you could donate to the services. Also, you know, it was shortly after that 2-year kind of slump that I had that my wife Lisa suggested that we would take part in the Peter House Darkness into Light Walk, which opened up a massive kind of journey for me as well. The guy that I did connect with the most was somebody who wasn't necessarily professionally trained, but if life lessons is a profession, he had an abundance of them. And he was able to share those with me and to help me understand that what I was doing and what was happening to me was not that different for many, many people.
Okay. Was that a comfort for you? Knowing that
it was a huge comfort to see another person's journey laid out.
Eimear, Owen has been talking about the devastation and what goes on with the family, and obviously the support from the community is vital. What sort of supports are available to families in the initial stages of discovering that loved one has died by suicide?
Thanks very much, Miffy. I think as Owen has explained, that once someone loses a loved one through suicide, their world is just not the same again, you know. And again, as Owen has mentioned, people will access help from those closest to them, their loved ones, their close family, their friends, And that was great, you know, how one explained how the community has came out on that night and were there to show their support and their solidarity. You know, something like 135 people are affected by the loss of one person through suicide. So while obviously the impact is unique and, you know, to each individual who's known that loved one, it sort of highlights the tremendous need for support at a number of levels for people. So I think, again, maybe there may be this perception in the past that, you know, it was something that you had to carry on your own, or you had to draw on your own resources or on your family and friends. The evidence would show that the earlier people seek help, even just to have someone to speak to, the better it is with helping recovery from such a loss in the long term. From that, the HSE have recognised the need for much greater support than there may have been in years gone by. And one of the key services that now really available across all of Ireland is the Suicide Bereavement Liaison Service. Now that is operated in this area by Pieta House, and again in most of the country, Pieta House would have a service arrangement with the HSE to provide that service funded through the HSE. And that's not a counselling service. What we'd recognise is that straight after losing a loved one, counselling isn't really what you would expect someone would need in the, you know, in the immediate aftermath, but a listening ear, you know, emotional support. And from someone who is maybe objective, who outside of that close network of family and friends, that person is there basically in every community, and certainly in Cavan and Monaghan, we have a suicide bereavement liaison officer. That support is there from the day after the loss of a loved one to the week after, the month after, the year after, 2 years after. There's no timeline on when someone can access that service. The service is free, and in practical terms, what is offered is support of up to 8 sessions initially. There's a need for more. That's something that can be accessed. And that practical support and emotional support is everything from a listening ear, and it can be in the person's home, it can be in a neutral setting, to supporting practical matters such as, you know, looking at closing down bank accounts, and then explaining what might happen next, you know, explaining about the coroner's court and the process there, and accompanying family members to the coroner's court if that would be helpful. So I think it's really important that people know that it is available, and really to encourage people to not be afraid to seek help, and to, because really having that support to travel that really difficult road after that loss is something that is there, and that not to be afraid to seek that support. The other support that's important as well, and it also links in with what Owen mentioned there about that peer support. We also have a service through HUG, which is a group that stands for Healing Untold Grief Group. And they have a group in Cavan at the moment. Now, as far as I know, they currently are meeting online. So the facilitators that HUG have would have experience of losing loved ones through suicide. So they offer a peer support group. Information can be accessed on the HUG website, just to find out a bit more about that service. And hopefully in time we will have a HUG support group in Monaghan as well.
That's brilliant, yeah. So that's HUG, H-U-G-G.
.ie. Definitely would be a service to look into, and then really just to look at the Pieta.ie website, you'll see information there on supports for people who've been bereaved by suicide. Through the HSE, recently we updated a suicide bereavement support booklet called You Are Not Alone. So that's a very useful booklet with information. It may not be in the immediate days after losing a loved one, but it could be the months after. That someone may pick that up and find some words of comfort, and may find some support through the content of that booklet. The recent updating of the booklet involved a working group that had 11 members on it who had lost loved ones through suicide, and 4 resource officers for suicide prevention. So it is very much a collaboration, and the voice of the 11 people who lost loved ones is very apparent in the booklet. There is a lot of information on other supports and services and other resources that might be of use to people as well, or be of help to people.
Yeah, that's really useful. We'll signpost at the end of the podcast to all the resources that we've mentioned here, and we'll have links to them all for people. What you're saying about peer support is really resonating with me, because I would have had my own experience of feeling suicidal at one point in my life. Hindsight is great, doesn't it? We have this 20/20 vision when we can reflect back and see what was going on. But for me at the time, it was to do with circumstances that were beyond my control and choices that another person was making that I had no power over. And it was a heartbreaking for me, and I felt very desperate. And it felt like somebody had died even though nobody had. And this led me into a very dark place where I considered taking my own life. And what pulled me back from that brink, first and foremost, was actually thinking it through to what I might do, and then realizing to go one step further that who might find me. And it would have been my younger children who would have found me, more than likely. So that initially pulled me back. But the next part was that the particular circumstance that I was dealing with that had led me to this dark place, I found myself at my computer Googling about estrangement. And it was reaching out to a community of people who were going through that very same thing that suddenly made me feel that I wasn't a complete failure as a human being, that other people were going through something similar. And it wasn't that I wanted to die, even. It was that I didn't want to feel all this emotional pain. And you mentioned, Owen, feeling that you didn't have any control over things. And I think that that is very poignant for us as human beings, to feel powerless or out of control. So this peer support you talk about is so powerful, that when you meet that empathy with other people who have been there or are going through what you're going through, or are that bit further on the road along, you suddenly don't feel so alone. As the book says, the HSE book you mentioned, Demer, you are not alone, you know. And even though the peer support I found weren't there to support around suicide, they were to support around estrangement, but that meant so much. That was what I needed. Can we talk a little bit now about minding our own mental health? Because you've already described, Owen, about being on your couch. So clearly the trauma of losing Lorcan 2 years on was still there for you.
Yeah, the trauma of losing Lorcan is still with me today. It really doesn't get any, you know, easier or softer. But I do believe that you learn to embrace it. You learn to understand the emotions that are associated with it. That moment that I was on the couch, you know, the tools that I have picked up since then, it gave me the knowledge and the strength to know that I could be on that couch again someday, but now I have a method to alleviate it.
Emer, when people are in those sorts of situations where, you know, their heads are spiraling, their thinking is taking them to dark places, what can they do? What sort of help is available?
I suppose the first thing that I think of is they can speak to someone. Getting it out, getting how you're feeling out verbally as opposed to just in your head is one big step in reaching for help or in accessing help. There are a number of services out there, and they range from text numbers to helplines to counselling services to statutory health services, and they all serve a purpose. But the challenge is for people to reach out and acknowledge that help might be helpful. And maybe once people have taken that step, whether it's to speak to their brother, you know, their friend, their co-worker, that can help to then take the next step. So if someone feels they just want to access help, then we would always say the first port of call is their GP. The GP will be able to help decide, is it, you know, counselling that would be of benefit? Would a referral to mental health services be required? Would primary care psychology be of benefit? So they will help to do a proper assessment and see what level of support might be helpful. There are a lot of really good supports that are available 24/7. And that is anything from the Samaritans helpline number 116123 to there's a new text service, which again, maybe younger people might find that more accessible. So text help, text hello, doesn't matter what word people use, but 50808 is the number to text for that. Pieta House would also have a helpline 24/7, 1-800-247-247. And they also provide free crisis counselling support for people living in Cavan and Monaghan. So again, that information could be accessed on their website. You know, there are a lot of online supports, organisations such as Jigsaw for young people, Spun Out, online counselling now as well, for example, mymind.org, turntome.ie. Again, some of those provide free counselling. Owen mentioned earlier on family resource centres. They also provide low-cost counselling and their four family resource centres across Cavan and Monaghan. A lot of that information locally would be on cavanmonaghanservices.ie. Nationally, it would be on yourmentalhealth.ie. Your GP would be a port of call. Out of hours, it would be North East Dock on call or going straight to A&E if anyone was feeling that they were particularly at risk. You know, and as I say, even just to speak to someone to help, you know, bridge that gap between acknowledging the need for help and reaching out and seeking help. Just think as well, I know things are difficult at the moment in times of COVID, but you know, I think it's important that people know that there are a number of training courses that people can access that will help build their skills and awareness of signs to watch out for if they're concerned about somebody who may be at risk of suicide. Safe Talk would be one of those particular courses delivered in Cavan Monaghan on a regular basis pre-COVID. Now, since COVID, we have an online offering called START, so it's a 90-minute awareness raising program. The more we can train people to kind of look out for signs and identify maybe when they think someone may be at risk of suicide, and to then have the courage to ask the question and to help connect them in with support. I'd certainly be happy to hear from anybody who'd be interested in accessing that free online training. So it's called START.
This podcast is called Stories of Recovery. So for a long time, it was sort of held that if people were struggling with their mental health and well-being, that they might be like that forevermore. And of course, more and more, we realise that recovery is possible, that recovery happens every day, and that it's a journey and a process. And you were talking there, Owen, about how, you know, it's not easy all the time to employ these tools that we have, but that they are worthwhile because they do help. And for me, recovery is about that daily maintenance, really, of looking after our well-being, of, you know, looking after ourselves on lots of levels. I know that in Mental Health Ireland, we talk about the five ways to well-being, and those are really fundamental pillars for looking after ourselves and keeping ourselves well, so that we don't maybe slide down into that crisis point, or if we are heading that way, that we can sort of come back more. What does recovery mean to you, Owen?
Recovery for me is survival. So when we talk about recovery, it's about managing those emotions. It's about embracing those emotions. One of the main stages of grief is acceptance. So acceptance in itself is a recovery. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Getting up every morning is recovery. Mm-hmm. Do you know, all of these aspects of our lives that at one point were really, really difficult, to be able to do them again and to do them in the knowledge that you're better than you were. That for me is recovery. It's part of that journey. It's a bad day when you don't learn something.
Okay.
Do you know, and if you learn something about yourself today, that's success. And to wake up every morning and breathe is recovery. Do you know, it's an ongoing process that has to be nurtured, and eventually the rewards will present themselves.
I like what you're saying, Owen, about what recovery is to you, that it's this journey, that it's not this one thing, it's that daily getting up in the morning and all of those things. I know that you're sharing your story here with us on this podcast, and I know that you've shared your story before on other forums. And I want to ask you about that. I'm wondering, you know, does that help? And if it does, how does that help?
Yeah, it's important on a number of levels. So I remember I first shared my story, and after that, I felt, okay, that's that done. But then, you know, getting the odd person kind of say that was thanks for sharing that, you know, that really helped me. It has encouraged me to continue to talk about suicide, to venture into the world of support, the support network that's out there. Maybe it might break that taboo that still exists.
September's Green Ribbon Month, trying to get rid of that stigma around help seeking, and so I think we can all do our bit there as well by wearing our green ribbon in September, just to highlight that we're happy to talk to others, we're happy to share our stories, and that we want other people to do that as well. You know, as one young man mentioned on air probably about a year ago now, was that, you know, he'd rather have 100 phone calls from friends saying they wanted to talk to him than receiving that one phone call to say that he'd lost a friend to suicide. You know, so I think if we can just get that message out there to pick up the phone and ask for help, as opposed to people being on the receiving end of calls like Owen received.
And I would wear my green ribbon, and like that, I reiterate what you're saying there, Emer, that, you know, if you see somebody wearing a green ribbon, that means they're approachable, it means that they're open to having a conversation, and no matter what that is. I mean, I think the other thing to remind people is that you don't have to be suicidal to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's really important, actually, if you can get talking before it gets to that stage, or, you know, the earlier the better. And that if you're even just feeling stressed, you know, to be able to go to somebody saying, I'm feeling really stressed, I really could do with just venting for 10 minutes. Would you let me just vent and let them have that vent? You've both been very generous. And Owen, thank you for sharing such a personal story.
Thank you very much, Miffy, for the invite.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be part of it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Stories of Recovery podcast. If you'd like to avail of support or information on services for yourself or someone you know, you can visit the HSE website www.yourmentalhealth.ie for general information, as well as how and where to get support. You should always contact your GP, doctor on call, or other health professional you might be in contact with if you have concerns about your mental health and well-being. In the event of an emergency, call 999 Emergency Services if you or someone you know is at risk of harming themselves. For crisis and emotional support, you can contact Samaritans on free phone 116 123 or email joe@samaritans.ie. You can also find free therapeutic support for those in suicidal distress or who engage in self-harm by contacting PIETA on 1-800-247-247 or text HELP to 51444 or visit their website www.pieta.ie. Text HELLO to 50808 anytime, day or night, or visit www.text50808.ie for anonymous support. PIETA also provide suicide bereavement liaison service. This service is available nationwide. The number for the suicide bereavement liaison officer in Cavan and Monaghan area 085-870-6591. For further resources and information on recovery and promoting mental health and well-being, please visit www.mentalhealthireland.ie/resources, where you will find a wide variety of downloadable resources, webinar recordings, videos, and links that are informative and supportive, including family recovery, farming and mental health, recovery colleges, and more. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.